This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs in style with a smile. And my co-host joining me on the phone, Jay Baker. Hey, Jay, how are you?
I am doing great. We're in the heart of the summer and I am enjoying life.
Yes. We had a lot of rain in the springtime where we're broadcasting from. And I'm hoping that June is, you know, I certainly don't want it to be dry. We don't want a drought. I don't want my flowers to die, but I do want some sunshine and blue skies. So we're hoping for the best as we move forward. Now, Jay, pretty cool story out of Rhode Island recently. Saw this come across my desk. We're going to start with education. And the graduates, first of all, let's just congratulate all the graduates, high school and college, the class of 2025. Yes. Nice job. I know the parties are still going on. My niece graduated from college this year. Her party's a little late. It's in late June. And so I'm going to mow some lawns to make sure I have some cash to put in her card. But listen to this graduation at the University of Rhode Island. A mom graduated with her three children. She got her doctorate in nursing, and she was supposed to get it a few years back, and it was delayed for whatever reason. I think just life got in the way, and she delayed her research. But she was able to complete her research and earn her degree, her doctorate, and it was the exact same year as her three children graduating at the same university. So all four of them walked across the stage at the same time to receive their diplomas at the University of Rhode Island. So that's a pretty cool, rare occurrence. And it was all over local news. All the news networks covered it. And I'm here to tell you, Jay, if you have a goal of ever getting on television, if that's your lifelong dream, here's how you do it. Have a kid and then time out their college graduation with yours. Because I'm fairly certain every single person who's ever graduated the same time as their child was featured in a news program on a local television network affiliate. And I can back this up with evidence. My best friend from growing up, I'll give his name. His name's John Holcomb. And he went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. His father also went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And his father graduated in the late, I mean, his dad was a little older. His dad graduated in, I think, 1958 or 1959. And John was supposed to graduate in 1992. Well, life got in the way for John, and he was three or four classes short of graduating, and he never graduated. So I think 15 years later, when John was in his late 30s, after he'd lived in Los Angeles and moved around the country, he moved back to Wisconsin to take care of his dad, who was in his late 70s at the time. And his dad revealed that he never graduated from the University of Wisconsin. So all those talks that, you know, your parents give you about how important your diploma is. I got one. You're getting one, too. Well, Mr. Holcomb never got his diploma. He never graduated. We always thought he did. And, you know, of course, we knew that John Jr. did not. So when John, my friend John, found out his dad never graduated, he challenged his dad. He said, let's go to school, enroll in some courses, and get our diplomas. And my buddy and his dad was 74 years old at the time, enrolled at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. They took their last couple of credits, aced the courses, got their diploma, and they both graduated on the same day, father and son, 35 years apart at least. And it was covered on every single news station in the city of Madison, Wisconsin. So just based on my buddy John in Wisconsin and Allison Jedson at the University of Rhode Island, I can tell you, Jay, with full confidence, that if you can graduate with your child from the same university, you will get on television.
Well, and doesn't this story also illustrate the fact that it's never too late? If you've said to yourself, hey, I'm just never ever going to finish that degree, or whatever the story is, you can turn it around. And I'm going to guess universities love to help you get credit for other life experiences and some things, set you back on that course, because you and I know when a 21-year-old crosses the stage and gets their diploma, that's cool. But how about a 76-year-old crossing that stage? So,
you're absolutely right. It's never too late. And most of these universities, if not all, have online courses now so that you don't have to, let's say you're you know, not in a position to travel back to campus to take those last couple of classes to get your diploma. You can do all of that online. In fact, I know my alma mater, Purdue University, they have an online school that is dedicated solely to working adults. So they've got, you know, online courses for high school graduates that are 18 years old, of course. But they have a completely different division called Purdue Global that is just that is for working adults. So if you're in your 30s or 40s and you never finished, you can, you know, take some courses through the internet, get your Purdue diploma, and it's not a Purdue Global diploma. It's a, in fact, a real diploma from Purdue University, and I could almost guarantee you most major universities have the exact same offering. It's a different age, and the technology is certainly helping everybody get back to school. And I love how you put it. It's never too late.
No, absolutely. Plus, you'll be pleased to know if you do pledge a fraternity and you're over the age of 70, there will be no hazing, which is important. If you're 70 and you say to yourself, that might be a little too arduous.
And if there is hazing, you can opt out for the online pledgeship.
Online pledgeship. Absolutely. Well, this is a little embarrassing, Adam, but perhaps not unexpected. You know, we've been kind of warned in our world and our society that AI, artificial intelligence, is coming, and it's going to be an important part of our life moving forward. Well, the Chicago Sun-Times, which is a big newspaper, says it's looking into how a reading list featuring books that never existed made it into print. You've seen these articles. I always love them. Great summer reads, and here's 15 books for you to look at. Most people would go to Amazon, go to their library list, and go, yeah, let me add these books. However, the books that were in Sunday's edition of the Chicago Sun-Times included some books that don't even exist.
Who is responsible for this?
Well, that's the whole thing. How did the gate come down? Social media posts have alleged the list was created by using AI. The Sun-Times says the list was licensed content that was not created or approved by the paper's newsroom. Bottom line, that list was printed. However, the paper went on to say it's unacceptable for any content it provides to its readers to be inaccurate. So I think this is going to be one of those no harm, no fouls, but it does kind of underscore, even in your very established local newspaper, you may or may not be getting accurate information.
You know, I thought AI was going to take over and replace humans or start World War III. I didn't know they were just going to post joke lists of summer books that don't exist.
Well, I laugh because I dearly love to read, and that's been one of my hobbies for the last few years to really delve into what are some of the national bestsellers. So I have to chuckle just a tiny bit because I would have been the first guy to really delve into this list. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. It falls under the category of some of the great stunts that people have pulled in the past. So maybe AI does have a sense of humor, but the bottom line for us is you need to beware. And you and I know we always have to be careful when we even suggest that the media might be lying to us, because that is the new America controversy, isn't it?
And the irony here is, Jay, that thanks to this story, once AI takes over the editorial and production of the Chicago Sun-Times, something like this won't happen.
Well, and you and I know that there's going to be a dozen movies between now and then that say, hey, Chicago Sun-Times, Terminator 6 was written about your fake list of books.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So don't believe everything. Can't get around it.
Don't believe. Never too late to go back to school and don't believe everything you read.
Don't believe everything you read. Hey, I don't think this is fake news. It's kind of sad. They say that a half a billion teenagers will be obese by the year 2030.
Wow. That's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, we've been discussing a little bit. We're the first to suggest, sure, we love ice cream. Sure, we love pumpkin pie during the holidays. But we've observed on this show that moderation really is the key many times. And sadly, moderation is something that is not being taught to some of our youth. Nearly 500 million teenagers worldwide will be obese or overweight by 2030. A new study by The Lancet found that those numbers have jumped significantly since 2015. Now, you know, part of it was they kind of blamed it on COVID, and maybe rightly so, as people were sort of keeping away from other people. Gyms weren't open in some communities. You know, it was perhaps more difficult, but I think there may be some other things that are going on, Adam, about it's just difficult to tell young, you got to get up and move around.
Yeah, activities came to a halt during COVID. No one left their house. And you throw that right into the middle of the generation that is doing everything online, including their social activities with gaming and entertainment and media. And then you throw in the fast food or junk food and how easy it is to eat, get, and eat. It's a recipe for disaster. And I can see how this number, I wouldn't have guessed that many, but that is a big number. And that's going to be a lot of problems,
yeah,
for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's kind of a worldwide thing. So while it's a number of individuals, it is more of a world crisis. And I'm sure that we'll all have to look at it. The other concern was a significant decline in young people's mental health. The authors stress that investing in the well-being of youth is absolutely paramount. So if you get a chance to participate in anything that helps young people, please do, because I think the young people now are kind of an at-risk community. And before, it was always like, hey, they're young, they're resilient, they'll handle anything. Now it's kind of like, no, we've heaped a lot of stuff on some pretty young people, and it's time for us to be their caretakers.
Do you get a little surprised, and this is how far we've come, how surprised are you when you're driving through your neighborhood and you see a bunch of kids outside playing? It's almost foreign. When I was a kid in the 70s, there were just kids all over, everywhere, outside, eating dirt pies, playing in trees, whatever. And now I drive through my neighborhood And when I get home from work in the evening, there are pedestrians everywhere. I mean, everybody my age is walking in the neighborhood to get a little heart rate increase. And you don't see a lot of kids playing. But when you do come across a yard and there's five or six kids out there running around, it kind of – it's like, oh, wow, good for them. Good for these kids. Or maybe you're even thinking, good for the parents for making them turn off their phones and get outside.
No, absolutely. You raise a great point. And there's a phrase, I think, now about, you know, I don't want to become an older gentleman sitting on my front porch yelling at kids. You now need to say to yourself, if you do want to be that older gentleman, you need to be on your front porch encouraging kids to get out and get a little activity. I know there's a number of kids that play on our court in our neighborhood because somebody put up a couple of basketball hoops, and something that simple is kind of a cool thing. There's probably, I don't know, five or six kids on a relatively consistent basis out shooting hoops.
That's fantastic.
You're absolutely right. I mean, something as simple as that is very important.
So you're saying that an adult that doesn't even have children put up a basketball court so that the kids in the neighborhood would get out and get some exercise?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. Guy A put his up, and then guy B, I don't know, maybe he was walking by a sale or something at his local hardware store, and he put it up, and he doesn't have kids. So, you know, and usually now in the past, because I laugh, it's exactly what you and I talk about. We'd be the first to go, oh, good, there's a basketball court. That means a bunch of kids are going to be out here shooting baskets at 11 o'clock at night, but I won't be able to sleep, blah, blah, blah. Now we're looking at it like, no, we got to get the kids out and get them playing basketball. So thank goodness whoever did this was thinking of kids.
All right, Jay, I've got a great idea that we're going to do. And we're going to get this Public Affairs Radio show behind this slogan, and we're going to make this a national campaign and see if we can pull this off. We're going to, along the lines of that story, you know, adults, middle-aged people that don't have kids that want to help with the child obesity problem in America, we're going to start a campaign called Get On My Lawn.
Oh, I like that.
And, you know, for years, like you said, it was get off my lawn. Just get
right.
I don't want to hear you screaming. I don't want to hear you yelling. I don't want to see you messing up my yard. I don't want to mess with you. Now it's get on my lawn. Come play some cornhole. Come do some jump rope. Come play some basketball in my driveway.
I like that idea.
Get on my lawn and let's curb the child obesity problem. I'm gonna try to get this going. Maybe we'll make at least two T-shirts just for me and you that say "Get on my lawn," and then and see where this goes.
Yeah, because what's a little rumpled grass yeah. when we've got a childhood obesity problem? Absolutely.
Get on in small letters. So get on my lawn in big letters, small letters, and I'll pay you $10 to mow it.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, here's kind of a cool thing we've always talked about. Some of these rock stars that are semi-infamous doing great things. Well, there is a new Ozzy Osbourne documentary. It's called The Nine Lives of Ozzy, which aired on A&E back in 2020. Is going to be shown at the Millennium Point Theater in Black Sabbath's hometown of Birmingham, England. They're going to do that on July 4th. Now, you and I know, what do we call July 4th in America? We call it Independence Day. What do they call it in England? July 4th.
Yes, Traitor's Day.
Yes, absolutely.
Traitor Day.
But this is kind of cool. They're going to do this to raise money for Cure Parkinson's, also Children's Hospice, and Birmingham Children's Hospital. These are the same charities that will benefit from the Back to the Beginning concert the next day. Ozzy is sort of famously going to be performing in public one final time. It's going to be in Birmingham. his hometown in England.
And it could be or is his final performance ever.
Yeah, this could be. He has been dealing with so many physical issues, not the least of which Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, this is what a great event. And if it weren't for our own national holiday, I might want to jump on a plane and go watch that. But I'll be celebrating the 4th of July while they're celebrating July 4th.
Undoubtedly, there will be a lot of stuff on YouTube and on television regarding these final shows. So, yeah, I got to hand it to Ozzy. What's the best way to put this? Because I've been dealing with Parkinson's myself, but Ozzy has maybe made Parkinson's a little hipper. You know, Michael J. Fox perhaps is the most famous advocate for Parkinson's, mm-hmm. but you got to admit, if Ozzy has Parkinson's, you go, it suddenly reduce the stigma just a little bit.
It's Jay Baker and Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, yes.
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 Absolutely.
Now, you may or may not have bitten the head off of a rodent in the 1980s. You cannot confirm nor deny that that ever happened.
No, I cannot at all. But yes, Ozzy, a very famous guy, and we wish him nothing but the best moving forward with his health issues. Here's kind of an interesting note. They're urging people to prepare for hurricane season. It's, kind of famous, if you will. Hurricane season begins in earnest in June. There's always that prediction from the hurricane prediction center about how many storms we'll have, what to be aware of, mm-hmm. where we think the storms will go. But if you do live in an area where there is hurricane potential, they are saying it's a good time to get prepared right now. You should probably create a plan. This is great. This is the number one preparedness for hurricanes. Either create a plan to evacuate or create a plan to shelter at home. Every one of these major storms, you know, the story always is later, people that say, hey, I'm not going to leave. I'm just not going to leave my house. I've lived here in Carolina. I've lived here in Florida. I've lived here near the Gulf of Mexico. We don't leave, we stay. That's not always the best advice. But if you do opt to stay, you need preparedness.
You know, I love how you are bringing awareness to this aspect of hurricane awareness, because when you hear of a loved one, usually an older folk who's like, I'm not leaving my home, I'm staying.
Right.
You can imagine them sitting on their Barca lounger with a bowl of Cheetos, watching the Weather Channel 5 feet from the living room window. And that you can't do that. You've got to do what Jay said and prepare for how you're going to shelter in your home if you are staying and not evacuating. You cannot just ride it out right next to the biggest window in your house watching the Weather Channel.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's always easy to say, well, let me give you my story, young man. But we recently had some pretty turbulent weather here in the Midwest about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And my spouse and I were in the center closet of our home. We live in a very moderate home, but we had a nice safe place that provided pretty good shelter during severe weather. But, you know, while you're in there, and one time we were in there for about an hour and a half, and rightly so, you want to stay on the safe side. Amongst us and amongst many planners that I have spoken to and read about, they've always said during that half hour and a half you're in there, you're kind of discussing, well, we might have done this and we should have done that. So you really should sit down with a list There are several online for hurricane preparedness, as well as just brainstorming with your loved ones, because everybody's situation is different. It's like, do you have your meds? For some people, hey, meds are not an issue. Do you have charging cords for your phones and iPads and other devices? For some people, a total non-issue. Yeah, you know, I've got a burner phone here from Witness Protection. That's the only phone I've got. I don't need to charge that phone. But you and I know what I'm talking about. My spouse loves her iPad. So we were in the closet going, hey, we should have had an extra charger. You know how that goes. Yeah. We do have additional lighting in our closet. And here's kind of a cool note. This, you know, obviously there's a lot to hurricane preparedness if you do opt to stay. But there is a lot of battery-operated lighting that's at your local hardware store. Check it out. And you can easily, some of it's adhesive, some of it tucks away in the corner, some of it even mounts on the back of a door. But take a look at some different lighting that you can put in your area that you shelter from the storm. So really take a look at, if you do evacuate, what are you going to take with you? Where are you going to go? They do urge that pets are extremely important. You would never want to leave your pets behind. But obviously, if you're going to take your pet with you, do you have adequate water? Do you have adequate food? Some pets even have different medications. Do you have the right medication for Rover? And if you're like me, you don't want to take your dog's medications, even though you go, hey, this is, I'm feeling a little better now.
I have a feeling that you've tried that.
Well, sure. You know, as we've always said when we were younger, share your meds. Please do not write that down or even remember what I just said.
No, go back to school. But, everything in moderation. Do not share your meds.
It's never
advice.
Too late. Yes.
You know, Jay, another thing that pops in my head, my parents are in their 80s, and they do live in an area of Florida that does have a lot of hurricane issues. And one thing they count on is communication with their neighbors. So for our friends listening who have maybe it's you or maybe it's your parents, if they're loners, if they're, you know, not necessarily social, if they just want to stay to themselves, you know, now's the time to maybe get out, meet some neighbors, trade some phone numbers for a couple of reasons. One is you get to check on the ones who are not evacuating. And if that happens to be you, then they can check on you if you haven't evacuated. And then B, once the storm has passed, if you did evacuate, let's say you headed back up to your summer home or your summer residence in a northern state, and thanks to airline prices or other issues, it's going to be a while before you can get down to the south to check on your property, you can talk to your neighbors to find out, you know, what's going on, which windows are broken. Maybe they need repaired quickly to keep the critters and the moisture out, or the looters or whatever. So don't be afraid to get out and make some friends and trade some phone numbers when the weather's nice, because you might need to have some communication after the weather gets bad.
Absolutely accurate. And as Adam just said, have a very clear-cut plan. If you stay or if you go, that's an individual choice, but always have a plan in place.
All right, Jay Baker, great show. Love the information you bring. I would love to be able to go to that Ozzy Osbourne benefit in Birmingham, England. What a great bucket list event that would be, and to help raise money for such a worldwide great cause. And like you said, we wish Ozzy Osbourne the best of luck with his health as he moves along and does what Ozzy does. I mean, he shuffles his feet and he keeps going. This is the Adam Rich Show. We thank you for listening. You can learn more about us and find out our social media on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.